question posed before you. Where do pastors go when they're stressed out? You might think they might not get stressed out, but they do. About a week ago, I was just having a lot of stuff on my mind. You know, I really thank God for a community that God has given me in this church. Loves me and lifts me up in prayer. A couple of guys realized that there were a lot of things that were on my mind, and they invited me over for breakfast. You know, can't turn down food, you know. So I went over and they set up an environment that I could really pour my heart out. They let me talk and they listened attentively. They empathized with me. They supported me. And I talked some more. And they encouraged me. And I talked some more. And you know, the time just sort of flew by that morning. And next thing I knew, it was 4.5 hours later. Before we went our separate ways, my brothers poured their heart out to pray for me. I was really touched. I felt just really connected with them because they lifted up my concerns to the Lord. You know, all of us face different levels of stress and frustration. And deep inside, all of us are looking for a community that would accept us, that would love us, that would care for us, that would stand by our side, that would pray for us. This world is starving for this kind of community. And you know what? The church is called by God to step up, to be this kind of community. We see scripture in Hebrews talks about this. It says, let us not consider how we may spur one another for love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habits of doing. But let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the days approaching. You know, when people come along our side and when we're hurting, they feel bonded together. They feel connected. They feel comforted. And they feel at peace. God wants this church, Houston Chinese Church, to be that kind of community to a world that's starving for this community. This year, our theme is to connect with God through the church as us. You know, people all around are too broken, too distressed to settle for fellowship in small groups that is comfortable, but do not have transformed members. Let's ask you, are there transformed members in your group? Is there a transformed community around you? God uses His people to show the world that God is alive and well. It lives within the believers. To others, recognize that we're disciples of Christ. The Bible says that one distinct uniqueness about disciples of Christ is that they love one another. In John 13:35, it says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The context of this passage talks about believers demonstrating love toward one another. When believers unselfishly demonstrate care for another, then it's automatic. Others will be attracted to them. They want to see what makes them tick. What is this special community that comes alive? We've seen this in the early church. There was a strong, authentic community. And it just drew people to Christ. They saw there was something unique about them, and they came to check them out. Our church today needs to return back to the practices of the early church. For the past year, I've had the privilege of going back to work with the college students, and I had a glimpse of this wonderful, authentic community. I'd like to ask one of our students, Jeff, if he would come forward to share his personal experience in this unique community that he has been involved in.
Looks a lot bigger from up here. Hey everyone, my name's Jeff Ye, and I'm finishing up my junior year at Rice right now. And I have to say, I've experienced, like Pastor Fred was saying, really amazing community during my time here at HCC and Rice. Starting about 3 years ago, when I first came here as a wet behind the ears freshman seeking some form of Christian community, I came from a high school where and a church back home where I had a lot of friends who were, who were a year older than me. So they had already gone to college, and they had told me a lot about the fellowship and the college community that they've been, that they've been experiencing in college. That was really, really great. And, you know, they told me about all of the older people that they'd met who were mentoring them and who were so on fire for God. And, you know, when I came here, I was just like, well, I want to find something like that too. So when I came, I found CCF and HCC, and I was really excited to just meet new people and to really try to get in touch with my religion, which I'd grown up with but really hadn't put much thought into. And what I found was far more than what I had expected. I met with older guys who were willing to spend one-on-one time, a lot of one-on-one time with me, just answering any questions I had about Christianity, about college, about life, and just helping to quell my fears coming here as someone who didn't know much about anything. They showed me the importance of being open, of sharing our feelings with each other and praying together over the things that we were struggling through, the things that God was telling us. And that, you know, that wasn't an awkward thing to do. In high school, getting together with my guy friends and talking really heart to heart was, you know, it's not something that we did as high schoolers. But, you know, coming to college and seeing these older guys really reach out to me and tell me, hey, it's okay to do this. It's okay to really be real with one another and pray over things. You know, that was really good for me to experience. And that was really an important aspect of sharing our lives together and being part of the same community. That's really what it meant to be of the same community. And, you know, now that I'm a junior, I'm one of those older guys, I guess, for better or for worse. And I'm finding that, you know, I'm learning even more from this side of the fence than I was as a freshman. I'm learning even more when I meet with the younger kids, not kids, the younger young adults. I'm learning even more as an older guy talking to them and just sharing their experiences as we talk, as we meet up for lunch, as we pray together in our prayer meetings. And, you know, this community at Rice has really provided me with these experiences, allowing me to grow in ways that I'd never imagined I'd be able to. You know, I have a new family, basically a new group of family members who I can share with, pray with, cry with, laugh with, and of course grow with. And, you know, looking back, there's nothing I can do but thank God for blessing me with such a fantastic group of people to support me through these 4 years of my life. Thank you.
God's doing some wonderful transformation among our students today. It is my desire to see this kind of community present in every fellowship, in every small group that's in this church. I want to highlight one of the practices of this kind of authentic community. They demonstrate love for one another by praying together, praying for each other. When you learn to pray together, pray for one another, that's one of the signs of authentic community. I want to take us back to Jesus' time and show you how the disciples, for the latter part of Jesus' life, although they've been with him for a long time, that they were not very motivated to pray. And we're going to contrast that with the time after Jesus was resurrected, how these same group of people were motivated to pray. As you recall, Jesus took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him to the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked them to stay and to keep watch. We see this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. As Jesus went to pray, he pleaded with the Heavenly Father to take the cup from him, knowing that he will suffer on the cross shortly. And he wanted support from the other disciples of his to pray on his behalf. And when he returned, he found his disciples, instead of praying, they were sleeping. And Jesus said, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? And he went off again to pray, expecting the disciples to be praying along his side. And unfortunately, you probably know the story, three times he came back, and three times instead of finding them praying, they were sleeping. Although the disciples have been with Jesus for about 3 years, yet somehow they have not learned to fully depend on God. They have not fully learned to pray and commit to the Lord. And this reminds me some Christians who knows a lot about God. They might have gone to church a whole lot, but yet haven't truly motivated to pray. Truly depend upon God. Someone hasn't caught that lesson yet. And as a result, they're no different than those that do not attend church. We're not able to make much of an impact to our community, to those that are around us. We see among the disciples that there was a drastic change that took place among them after the resurrection. Not only did they embrace Jesus, but they also embraced each other as an authentic community. And we saw them taking the lead during the early church. Prayer was clearly evident throughout the early church as it's recorded in the book of Acts. What I want to do in the remaining portion of our time is to highlight three incidents where the believers were bonded together to pray. I'd like for us to look at why did they come together to pray and what happened when they did pray. First of all, we'll take a look in Acts chapter 1. You see, the foundation of the church is built upon prayer. Jesus mandated the followers to make disciples of all nations, that they are to be their witnesses. Ironically, Jesus did not send them off immediately, but instead asked his disciple to pray and to wait upon the Holy Spirit to come before they proceed on. So the 11 apostles and the 109 followers, they got together. They got together in the upper room to pray. And they prayed fervently. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were empowered. And they spoke with great authority and power the gospel. They were not ashamed to speak boldly. An amazing thing happened immediately that follows. The 3,000 people came to know Christ. You see, when we work, we just work. But when we pray, that's when God goes to work. We must learn to let God go to work more often. Instead of us working harder, we need to work smarter in entrusting our needs before Him. It is easy for us to run ahead of God instead of humbling ourselves before Him in prayer. If we're going to develop a strong ministry, if we're going to do great things for God, we must lay a foundation with prayer. You see, I've been able to witness firsthand this past year how prayer has been a foundation for student ministry. I'd like to invite Dennis to come and to share with us how he has firsthand experienced prayer as the foundation of the ministry among the students this year.
Hello, my name is Dennis. I'm a current senior in our college fellowship. And I just want to start off with two verses that one of my mentors freshman year made me memorize. I didn't quite understand it at the time. It's in 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15. I'll just read it. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. And I think I just want to share one way that God has really met us, met our confidence in Him when we asked Him. And it was this past year, our college fellowship usually goes on a missions trip to Reynosa, Mexico, to Josiah and Bethany Orphanage. We work with the kids, we do VBS, we have mercy ministry in the slums around the area. But this year, we were planning to leave on Wednesday, and the Friday before, there was a lot of violence across the border, and they closed the consulate. So the missions board here decided that, you know, probably not a good idea to send our kids over there. And I guess, like, to give you a background of just how we were devastated, we had spent the entire semester and a lot of time just preparing to see these kids. And we had seen these pictures, their pictures online, and we just, our hearts just went out to them, and we were like, we want to be God's hands and feet there for them, the orphanage, or the orphans that don't have any parents. And I guess, like, we were really devastated because we had spent all that time preparing, and all we had let open our entire spring breaks, and now it seemed like we were going to do anything. So we had a meeting, emergency meeting on Friday, and after some prayer, we thought, well, what about going to McAllen, because it's right across the border, and you don't have that security issue. So we called several missions agencies in McAllen, and as each of them got back to us, they kept on saying, no, 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 we can't accommodate 15 to 20 kids, you know, college students in like 3 days, you know, it's just not possible. And I personally was a little devastated because I had wanted to be, to serve God with my language abilities. I'm studying double major in Spanish, and I wanted to be the interpreter for this trip. And I'd prepared a lot to be able to do this cross-cultural ministry. And so I asked our team to get together to pray and to seek God's will and to have confidence that this time that we set apart for His ministry, for His work, wouldn't be wasted. So on Saturday night, we came together as a team and we prayed hard and fervently that God would show us what He wanted us to do, and what His will was for us that spring break. And we left just like committing everything to God and committing and sanctifying our time and giving it to Him. And we had one last hope, which was the contact of a missions agency who we had no idea. He only spoke Spanish. He's this Pastor Garcia that we had never met. And so on Sunday morning before church, I gave him a call and I asked him, you know, is it possible that we can come down and we'd love to do anything. And within like our first few sentences, he was already welcoming us in. He said, you know, I just had to check my congregation, but I want you guys to come. And I guess he checked his congregation and on 12 o'clock he called us and said, yes, when are you coming and what are you going to be doing? He had no idea what we were going to do. He just wanted to invite us over. And I guess the rest is really just a testament to God's faithfulness. Because when we went to Edinburgh, it's a suburb of McAllen, we went to the small Hispanic church where they had never invited any church group to come to their church before. They were really small. It was just completely, we were stepping out of faith and they were stepping out of faith. And God blessed it so much and united our hearts in praising Him and reaching out to the community around Him, around them, and really just showing God's glory and God's greatness in those 3 days that we had with them. And I guess it's just a further reflection for me of just the power of prayer and how God truly does answer us when we humble ourselves before Him and seek His will. And I guess for our fellowship, prayer is really the basis of all of our ministry. It sustains our ministry. It's the source of our ministry. And it ends our ministry with praise because our prayers are answered by God. And one of my brothers in the fellowship shared with me this verse in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7. And he had been, this has really been speaking to him. And to me, it really speaks of how our fellowship has approached prayer and has really blessed my heart through prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called in my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. And I think I've really seen God's healing and God's blessing, rich blessing upon our fellowship because we trust God's power through prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Prayer needs to be the foundation in our fellowship, in our small group. Our ministry is not dependent upon us, but our ministry is dependent upon God. God needs to work in and through us. After the 120 believers pray fervently in the upper room, 3,000 people came to know Christ. And shortly after that, 5,000 came to know Christ. It was an amazing work of God. As more people trusted Christ, there were more things to do. There were more needs that needs to be done. And without being aware of what was going on, the disciples, the apostles, and the leaders there got so busy doing things that they somehow lost track of what was most important in the ministry. They neglected to pray. They neglected the ministry of the Word of God. And we see this in Acts chapter 6. The days recognize they can't be running around doing all kinds of things, that they need to go back to proper priority, that they need to focus on prayer and the Word of God. And we at times, if we're not careful for those that are active serving, that we get caught up in doing a bunch of programs and neglect things that are even more important, prayer and the Word of God. I commend the college students who devote themselves in prayer. And not only should prayer be a foundation of the church, prayer should also be our daily practice. We see this in the early church in Acts chapter 2. We see that these people were devoted in doing four things. They were devoted in teaching, in learning from the Word, in fellowshipping, interacting in the body of Christ, in breaking of bread, in remembering what Christ has done for them on the cross. And lastly, in praying. Praying was one of the key elements among the early church, and they practiced it regularly. It was their practice. It was a routine that they had to pray as they gathered together in the temple, as they got together in their small group within the homes, that they pray. The college group have weekly prayer meetings. They have two prayer meetings on two different nights. Make sure to accommodate students that might have different schedules. And I'm just blessed to see these young people in their commitment to praying through all kinds of things. And I believe because of their dedication to pray and submit their needs to God, that we've seen drastic growth among them. Not only in quantity, but in quality. We must learn to pray daily. It needs to be a daily practice of ours. My question to you is, are we praying regularly? Is that a daily practice of ours? Do we know the needs among the members of our fellowship or small group? Do we only hang out socially? Or do we get down deep to share about our struggles and to lift each other up in prayer? Praying together, praying for each other. And may we pursue to develop an authentic community that lifts each other up in prayer. We talked about prayer as the foundation of ministry. We have talked about prayer should be a daily practice. But the third passage I want for us to focus upon is that we need to learn to intercede for one another's needs. Now this takes place in Acts chapter 12. Let me just give you a little background. During the early church, as the gospel was being spread, there was great persecution that came upon the Christian. The thing is, if you look at the book of Acts, the more the Christians were persecuted, the more the gospel spread. James, the brother of John, was put to death for standing up for the gospel. Since this pleased the Jews, King Herod arrested Peter and put him in prison, guarded by four squadrons of four soldiers. He probably had one soldier handcuffed to his right arm and one on the other, and two more standing outside of the cell. And then they rotate to have different squad to come through the cell to switch places. And he was in heavy confinement. Peter was supposed to be brought to trial, public trial, the next day. And probably he was supposed to be executed the very next day. But while all of this was happening in prison, we find in verse 5 that the church was earnestly praying to God for him. You see, God is able to do what appears to be impossible. The believers gathered together to pray. Note that they probably got together immediately or shortly after Peter went to prison. They didn't waste any time. They recognized the need and they called a big prayer meeting. They did not only pray, but it says they pray earnestly. It's like pleading before God that God would deliver Peter out of hands of King Herod. You see, Peter felt secure in God, although he probably might be executed the very next day. It says that he slept like a baby. He had peace, knowing that God is in control. God then went to work in answering the prayers of the believers, this authentic community that prayed together and prayed for each other. God sent an angel to rescue Peter. The chains fell off, and he was guided out of the cell without the guards noticing it. At first, Peter thought that he was just dreaming, that he was released. But when he realized that indeed he was set free and delivered by God, he got very excited. He praised God. He knew that a group of believers were praying for him. Therefore, he decided to go to this prayer meeting to report to them and let them know how God has answered their prayers. You see, this prayer meeting probably not only took place after Peter went to prison, but this prayer meeting kept on going, and probably, you know, while he was sleeping, it probably took place in the middle of the night. When he got to this prayer meeting, these believers were still praying. They lifted up the knees of Peter to the Lord. This is clearly authentic Christian community. We're praying together, praying for each other. May we pursue this kind of authentic community among us. I'm sure in this congregation that some of us are carrying heavy burdens. And I want to challenge each one of us today to ask someone for a prayer request. How can I pray for you today? And then pray for that person. And if we were to do this regularly, we're going to really see transformation that will take place in this church. At this time, I'd like to give you an opportunity to pray for one another. I'd like to ask those that among us that might be carrying heavy burdens. And we might have all different kinds of burdens. It might be a broken relationship. It might be financial difficulties. It might involve physical healing. It might be at work we're being mistreated. We have all different kinds of burdens. What I'd like to do is, in just a moment, I'd like to ask those that feel like you have a heavy burden and would like others to pray for you, if you were to stand. And then I'd like for those of us that are sitting around, if you would just gather around that person, if you lay your hand upon him or her, and this person, if he or she desire, can share very briefly about that burden, or if he chooses not to, that's okay. And I'd like to ask one of you among that group if you would pray for that person, and we'll get back together. So at this time, I'd like for us to practice what we just heard. If you have a heavy burden, would like prayer, would you stand? I know there are others that have burdens. If you stand, any others? Okay, well, let's gather around these brothers and sisters. There's some over here, there, and if one of you gather around, you lay hands upon him or her, and pray for that person. Mm-hmm.